Hello, friends. It's me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It's me, Alice Slater.
For another episode of What Page Are You On? How are you today, my good bitch?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. All the better for hearing your beautiful dulcet tones in my ear holes. How are you?
I am well. I just made myself some nice scrambled eggs, so I'm in high spirits. What are you reading right now, my friend?
So, what am I reading right now? I've not had a great reading week. I feel like my only reading goal is to always have something on the go. And this week I've really struggled to like decide what I want to read and stick with a choice. But I finally committed. I'm reading the new book in the Universe.
Yes.
By Caroline Kepnes. I'm doing that on audio and, you know, loving it so far. And then I also literally just started in August, Nina Minyapals, who wrote Tiny Moons, that beautiful little dinky book about living in Shanghai for a year. She has a book coming out about swimming, about wild swimming. So I started reading that, and so far I love it.
I am so glad. This sounds right up our street, and we love her.
Very us. What about you, Chamraid? What
so
you got?
So I finished Clara and the Sun by my boy Katsuo Shiguro, which I loved. And before I start on The Manning Tree Witches, which is our book club book for next week, I am trying to read a juicy little thriller that I've seen some of the cool Irish gals of Twitter talking about, and I have on the Kindle, and my dad read last week and said it was good. So between all of those, and you know how we're always in pursuit of like a really good, juicy commercial thriller?
Always, yeah.
So have you heard of this one called The Nothing Man by Catherine Ryan Howard?
No.
It's Irish, therefore cool, and it seems to be vaguely based on I'll Be Gone in the Dark, but obviously fictionalized.
Ooh.
And I've only just started it, but I will let you know if it holds up by the end.
If it bangs, then I'm excited because all I really want in life. I just want a steady stream. It's not the only thing that I want, you know, but yeah. Like, I just want a steady stream of really banging thrillers that I know I can always rely on.
100%. And I want to know that they're like out there. They're still getting written.
Exactly.
You know, that we haven't had the last of them.
And especially like fresh stuff, you know, like stuff that feels like I haven't read it before. That's what I want.
So true. So yeah, I've literally just started it. So I cannot tell you what my personal views on this book are yet, but I will in the fullness of time. And I do expect to like it because yeah, I've seen quite a lot of people talking about it, but not like loads of, not loads of the kind of usual suspect crime writer and reader cohort. So if yeah, I'm interested in this. So Alice,
all right,
would you like to tell us something exciting that has happened to you today?
Oh yeah, that little,
and by today I mean 2 days ago by the time this episode comes out.
So as of today, the news, as we like to say in the industry, the cat is out of the bag. You know, the news has dropped. I have a book coming out in 2023 and we just announced it and I'm just so excited. I don't even know what to say. But
what's the book called? Who's publishing it?
Okay.
Tell us everything.
It's called Death of a Bookseller. Yes. It's coming out with Hodder and Stoughton and it's about booksellers and the ethics of true crime and who really owns the stories that we tell. And yeah, it's a good time. I haven't like practiced my pattern yet.
We're all extremely hyped and I am very glad that it's out there.
It's very wild because the news dropped about 15 minutes ago on the bookseller. So now my phone is absolutely blowing up. But I'm here under my blanket recording the pod, keeping me grounded.
Yes, so true. That's very important. It's important that you don't lose your head because that's what we want to talk about. We want to prepare you, Alice, for the lifestyle of being a published author by discussing author etiquette online because there has been quite an egregious example of bad behavior by an author on the internet this week. Has there not?
There really has, and we couldn't not discuss this. But something that I want to make clear before we dive into the story is that the reason why we feel like, I mean, it's fair game anyway, because it's such a big story, but the author in question has a massive following. So even though she's a debut, I feel like with a following of that size, she's in the public eye in a way that most debuts are not.
100%. Like, to have, you know, she has, well, she doesn't have as many followers now as she did last week, but like, yeah, more than 60,000 followers. So, and I just feel like that you are essentially a public figure when you have that many followers.
Yeah. So let's stop pussyfooting around. Let's tell the story.
Let's dive right in, if you will.
I feel like you said that little part of something. It was like touching a slug with a finger, like part of you recoiled. okay, so would you want to tell the story?
So the story basically is that an author called Lauren Huff has a collection of kind of memoir essays out. And the book is called Leaving Isn't the Hardest Thing. And it's being published by like a mainstream publisher. It's coming out from Vintage / Anchor Books. And yeah, so that's the backstory. She's someone that I've kind of seen around on the internet before. Not someone I'm super familiar with, but yeah, like a kind of lady writer of the internet. And then last week, for some reason, she decided to go online and complain about Goodreads reviewers and Goodreads reviews, but like not any Goodreads reviewers, people who had given her 4 stars. She was complaining about people giving her 4 stars. And the what she actually said was, "Glad to see most of the Goodreads assholes still giving 4-star reviews to show their super tough reviewers who need to, like, fall in love, you know. Anyway, no one likes you." And then she screenshotted and tweeted a picture of 2 people who had commented on Goodreads. Someone called Debbie who said, "I just finished this too. 4.5, rounding up. Working on review." And then someone called Hannah saying, "Yes, such a good book. I also gave it 4.5, but rounded down." And she had captioned this picture with the words, "Grow up." Now, Alice, I just want to prepare you for being an author. And just be quite clear that if someone gives you 4.5 stars out of 5 stars, that's incredibly good.
I would call that a good review.
That's also an extremely good review.
Say the words, "such a good book. I also gave it 4.5 is a good review.
Like, I just cannot quite get my head around the mindset and the entitlement that it would take to read that, feel angry about it, and then like berate these people on Twitter on your account where you have like 66,000 followers.
And I guess that for me is the bottom line, is that the size of her following means that she should damn well have known better.
100%.
She doesn't have an account of like 300 followers and she never thought that it would go viral.
Yeah.
Like, she has a massive following. She has over 60,000 people reading everything she says. Whatever spirit this was posted in, whatever her sense of humor is, like, it's still posting it out to a massive audience.
Yeah, and like, if she had, you know, 300 followers, it would still be a weird, bad and rude thing to do. But the fact that she has so many people following her, and she like surely was not born yesterday and knows this is exactly the kind of thing that gets people riled up, quite rightly. I'm just like, what planet are you on?
Also, I mean, this idea of that she's behaving as though a 4-star review is a power trip.
Yeah. You know,
to show their super tough reviewers who need to, like, fall in love. It's like, well, yes, actually, yeah. Maybe 5 stars is something which is only reserved for books that they fall in love with. Like, what's wrong with that? Why is that shocking or surprising to you? Why do you feel like that somehow that these people have power over you and they're withholding from you and causing you psychological damage by giving your book 4 instead of 5 stars? Like, she's imagining there's some kind of intent behind that, like a malicious intent.
Yeah, like they're putting her in her place.
It's just a kind of unhinged position to take. But anyway, the story obviously spread far and wide. You don't just quote tweet Goodreads reviews.
Call them nerds. Goodreads
reviews.
Tell them to grow up.
No less. Yeah, without the Goodreads community catching wind of it. And they don't fucking like that, funnily enough. Like, people who are reviewing books out of passion and love don't particularly like to be called nerds by an author that they held in quite high regard. So they started clapping back. and began leaving her one-star reviews en masse. And that didn't go down very well.
She did not care for that.
She didn't like that.
But, like, I don't know. I just feel like surely that was obvious. Like, surely that was a kind of obvious outcome of what she was doing.
So she then, as this, like, continued to spiral, people started saying, do you not think you should just apologize? And she likened someone saying to her, you literally put small reviewers on blast with your large platform. This is just you receiving the taste of your own medicine. Perhaps you should apologize to them. Actions have consequences. And she replied, quote tweeted no less, to her huge audience with, in quotes, you shouldn't have worn that skirt.
Because it is literally the same thing. It's, and you someone, know, of course, that's, and just, yeah.
For the avoidance of doubt, someone had replied to her saying, are you comparing book reviews to rape? That's pretty over the line. And Lauren Huff quote tweeted that and said, yes.
It's like she's not even trying. Like, it is quite wild that at every stage she has, like, made the worst decision. Do you know what I mean? Like, at every single point where she could have been like, this is clearly not going well for me, I could just back out, she's just been like, nope, I'm going to keep going.
I feel like this is one of the most wild examples of this that I've seen. Because, of course, like, we've seen authors look at reviews and respond to reviewers before. And we'll come to that again in a second. But, like, Goodreads have now started removing the bad faith one-star reviews and messaging the users to say, like, we do not condone this behavior from our community, but we also don't approve of the author's behavior either. We just need to separate the author's behavior from the book reviews.
Mm.
Which I feel like is a bit of an odd precedent to set. Because obviously, yeah, if the review is saying outright, I haven't read this book, but fuck this bitch, like, obviously that's not massively helpful. But at the same time, is that not, for the nature of Goodreads, is that not also valid? Like, would we not consider, I'm sure that we must have in the past, people writing reviews, negative reviews for books written by authors who have appalling politics, saying, guys, don't read this, this person is a Nazi or this person is a rapist. Like, surely there must have been a precedent for this kind of behavior. And, you know, we can get into, like, the ethics of, well, is that a book review or not? Is that valid or not? It doesn't really matter. Like, why has Goodreads come out to bat for this particular situation?
And also the fact that, like, she was allowed to behave like this online in such, like, extreme and awful ways for so long. And, like, no one, it seemed like, you know, her publisher and her agent were just, like, letting her do it. And I feel like it's because she's a white woman.
100%. 100%.
Like, yeah, she has had so much leeway to behave in this way that is essentially, like, tanking loads of goodwill for her book. But it's fine. For some reason, it's just fine.
Although, I mean, yeah, I feel like by bringing up rape, I'm not sure what in her right mind she was thinking. Because, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Although she's quote-unquote getting away with this terrible behaviour, she's also kind of not, she's pinned against the wall. And, like, she's bringing up an argument that's so clearly meant to be provocative. Do you know what I mean? Like, she knows that that's not what the situation is. And she also knows that that's not, we don't compare things to rape. That's just not something that we fucking do.
So yeah, what's her, like, angle?
Exactly. I'm just like, what? I can't, basically, I just cannot fathom what's going through her head. And she's tried to be very flippant and say that everyone knows that I only tweet when I'm stoned and it's all just nonsense. You shouldn't believe a word I say. You shouldn't listen to me. So, you know, cynically, is she intentionally whipping people up? Is it intentional? Because obviously it's all so negative. As you said, like, even if this was all about publicity, like, this isn't like a situation where, like, you know, with the transition baby, Tori Peters received lots of, like, transphobic abuse from TERFs, so everyone rallied around her to support her book. Like, this isn't that, bitch. Like, you're not going to get that from this situation. You have no reason to have people rallying around you when you are just burning bridges and, as you said, tanking good faith. So yeah, I don't believe that it's, I don't believe that she's trying to play a game here to try and get recognition for her book, because if she is, I mean, what an appalling strategy.
Yeah, and it's like she flip-flops between trying to sort of write it off as, like, I only tweet when I'm stoned, and then these incredibly earnest tweets like, All the writers scared to even like that tweet. I see you. I will hate them out loud for you. I know they're scary as shit. Fucking nerds on a power trip. You forgot to assign homework, motherfuckers. Like, how seriously? Like, she takes herself so seriously. I just can't really cope with it.
You're right. Like, it's not shit posting.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like, which we all love a shit poster. But this is not that.
Yeah, this isn't like messy bitch who lives for drama. This is like really bad behavior.
So let's swing this round to ourselves. Let's make it about us. Do you ever look at your reviews?
Literally.
Two books published now.
I never look. I never, ever, ever, ever read reviews. I never read any Amazon reviews except for the one that has the picture of Pete, your stepdad, in.
Oh, yeah.
That's on my Amazon reviews. And there's a lovely picture of Pete reading No Big Deal on holiday. Yeah, Goodreads literally never go there. And I have to like say to my family, like, I don't want to know anything about how many reviews I have, what my average is. Like, do not talk to me about it. I don't want to know. Just because I know, like, that is how you make yourself lose your mind, is by fixating on this stuff. And, like, I just think it is not going to be useful information for me. It's only going to be harmful information. It's not going to help me learn how to write better stories, or like, I just don't think there's really going to be anything in it that I don't already know or couldn't learn from like my agent or editor. It's just personal preference, and that is completely fine. And I want readers to have a space for that, where they're not like, you know, at the mercy of authors' egos. I don't want to put myself in that position where I have to read it, and I don't want there to be like nowhere that readers can discuss this stuff. So that's very much my vibe, is like, I don't want to know. I don't even want to hear about it. And yeah, happy for them.
Yeah, because like most, like with a 5-star rating, most books end up cruising at around a 3. Like, so you end up looking at, you know, 2.8 to 3.2 is maybe less good. And then like a 3.7 to a 3.9 is really good. And like, that's just fucking nonsense. You know what I mean? Like, that level of nuance becomes meaningless. The purpose of, in my opinion, the star reviews is for people who are following their favorite reviewers to go and look at what they think of something. The average overall review is kind of a meaningless number.
Yeah.
And you are right. Like, especially Goodreads is a platform for readers. It's not a platform for writers to get an ego boost or to try and learn more about the craft. I do think it's really helpful if you're a writer to go and look at the 1-star reviews of books you loved. Because you might find criticism that you couldn't see as a fan. And that can be kind of helpful and useful. So yeah, like whenever I finish a book, most of the time, whether I loved it or hated it, I will quite often go and look at the 1-star reviews. I know that might seem like a strange thing to do, but I just like to get other perspectives. And sometimes those reviews are completely useless and criticizing the book for things that aren't there, but often actually they're you know, nuanced and smart, and that it reviewer that has a real bee in their bonnet about something. But sometimes that thing is something that I didn't notice, and I'm grateful to have someone else point it out to me.
Yeah, totally.
But don't do that with your own fucking books. That's, I just, yeah, helpful.
I've never been like this in, you know, I remember like in the kind of peak plus size blogger days, I would do, you know, these kind of articles or photo shoots with like other bloggers, and then they go online, and then, you know, without naming names, but there were like people who would just like completely torture themselves reading every shitty fatphobic comment. And I was just like, you know, you don't have to do this. I don't do it. I don't read every hateful comment about myself. And that like saves me hours and hours of like stress and anxiety and unhappiness. And that's exactly the same energy that I apply to this. Like, I'm not going to learn anything from them that I need to know about my, you know, myself. And then with the book reviews, it's like, it's not for me. So, you know, I've always been very kind of hardline.
Yeah, you don't need to like crowdsource opinions on how to do your thing. And that's not to say that, you know, like, I think reviews, official reviews, like if you had, have you ever had like a big press review?
No, I mean, it's been mentioned in like the Guardian, like YA roundup and stuff like that, but not a review.
So I feel like a review that's been written by a professional critic that has been published in a big newspaper, which, by the way, obviously for listeners, like that's kind of a rare thing. Like that's a lucky thing. Not everyone gets that. But that's something that I would ask my husband to read first, and then I would probably want to read that because that's going to be criticism that I would like to hear, you know, like I think that that could be something that could help one grow as a writer. On the flip side, though, we know that sometimes those reviews are not written in good faith because we've seen examples over the years of people who have used their opportunity to review a book as a platform to spout off about something else, such as that review, which a review of a debut that focused entirely on creative writing MAs and how they're a big ripoff and produce cookie cutter writing. That was nothing to do with the book. You know, that was 100% to do with the author wanting to use that opportunity to get on a soapbox about an issue that she obviously failed to get commissioned. in my opinion. So yeah, not all press reviews are actually helpful either, but you know, is that bad editing? Like how does that end up happening?
Yeah.
Well, then I was going to bring up the famous Barry Pierce review of Dolly Alderton's Ghosts, which, you know, I felt that review was treated as though it was a bad faith review, but I don't think it was.
Like, yeah, that was quite weird. That whole dynamic was quite weird because, like, people who I'm normally like, yeah, you have a sensible brain in your head were like, yeah, kind of taking an approach to it that I was a bit surprised by.
I think it's because the reviewer's name is Barry and lots of people couldn't imagine a Barry that wasn't a middle-aged straight dude. And in fact, this was actually a young queer guy. So I felt like a lot of the responses were just like, well, this book isn't for you. And I was a bit like, well, I mean, are we saying
clearly,
it's a lady book for ladies? Like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, and like, I think you could say that if it was someone, I think it's not for you if you don't have any interest in like the genre, for example. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you were sending someone who's never read a thriller in their life to review a thriller, I'd be like, yeah, it's literally maybe not, this is not kind of aimed at you if you don't know the worlds and the tropes and the conventions and you don't understand what you're kind of reading and responding to, what is new in this, what is old in this. But this dude clearly was very passionate about romantic comedies, which is a thing that I am very happy that people who are not ladies are passionate about.
Yeah, exactly. Like the review itself like included plenty of references that made me feel like he was a good fit for the book. And also, like, at the end of the day, you're not actually entitled to only positive press. Like, we as podcasters try not to be too frank and salty about things that we don't like, but that's because we're not professional critics. It's not something that we're interested in doing. Also, of course, like, now I can say this, which when we talked about this last time, I felt like I couldn't say it because I didn't want to accidentally let slip. But also because we're both writers. Like, we're in this world, we're in the publishing realm in a slightly different position to reviewers and readers who aren't also publishing work. So we do have like a more professional etiquette to like professional line to tread as well.
100%. I think, you know, in situations like this, I actually think that although it's tempting to like get all your followers involved and kind of call out these people, I actually, you know, obviously this is not an approach I normally advocate when it's a kind of power dynamic situation, but I just think you shouldn't draw attention to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, just, I mean, obviously the Dolly Alderton review situation was different to the Lauren Huff losing her mind on Goodreads situation because she was complaining about good reviews, which meant that, like, in general, it was just a completely wild situation, the likes of which we haven't seen before. But yeah, I just think like drawing attention to kind of bad reviews of your stuff, I'm just like, the fewer people that read that, the better. Like, let's just pretend it never happened.
Yeah. And also, like, there's, I think, a big difference between a critical review and a review that tears your work apart. And actually, I think to the author, a mildly critical review may feel like a review that's tearing your work apart. Actually, sometimes it's not. And you have to ask, like, okay, but who is actually reading the review section of the Times? Like, are they going to be people that... Are you going to have readers who will see this review of your book, that will find the cover appealing, will skim read the review, recognize it's about themes that interest them, even if the reviewer doesn't seem to be that fussed about it, and buy it anyway? Quite possibly. Like, the idea that all press is good press isn't always true, but actually, in terms of reviews, sometimes it fucking is. Like, sometimes it doesn't actually matter. Whereas if you draw attention to it and make a big stink, like, it's unprofessional and it reflects badly on you. And also, people will always rally around the underdog. So if you're putting individual Goodreads reviewers on blast, you're not going to be the underdog in that situation.
Whereas, like, the review we mentioned earlier, which was of a debut by a woman of colour, a young woman of colour, it just felt so specifically kind of racialized and gendered and a kind of anti-young person screed. That was, you know, the power dynamics there were quite obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, it wasn't a good faith bad review. And, like, obviously a debut novel is a debut novel, but there are different shades of debut. And, like, Dolly Alderton's debut novel was not her debut book. Like, she had already been through the entire process. So she was coming with that experience under her belt, which doesn't change the fact that the novel itself is a debut, but, you know, her relationship with it is different. Whereas I think we're being coy, just to be clear, we're being coy about the other negative review. Just because, I like, the book has shed that skin, I feel like that negative review hung over because it was published, like, the day of the launch, and it just created a bit of a dark cloud, and we don't want to perpetuate that. Like, I'm happy that the book has divorced itself from that particular situation. So we don't want to like bring it back up.
Yeah, we've put in the hours in hyping the book up. So, you know, exactly. If we want to mention the bad shit every so often, I think we're in our rights too.
But what that author did as well, because she did respond to that review, if you recall. But what that author did was get commissioned, get some money and write a piece addressing the thing that this reviewer was bitching about. And,
which, know, I fully support.
Very classy. Loved that. Loved.
But if Lauren Huff does it, I don't want Lauren Huff to make a single penny off this. You know, because I just feel like she's going to spin it into some, like, cancel culture thing. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be completely misconstrued. She is going to, like, yeah.
It's the grim predictability of behaving terribly, shitting your pants in public, and then claiming that it's everyone else's fault.
Yep. I hate it.
It is something that I've been thinking about, though, that I love BookTube and I love Goodreads and I listen to my book podcasts. And, you know, I very much enjoy the reader's world of, like, the internet. And I was thinking the other day, I was watching BookTube, I was watching one of my regular favs, and she was doing this video about books she hated and picked up a book that I love and was like, I fucking hated this, and did a big rant about it. And I was like, God, when my book is published, will I just have to, like, stop watching these channels out of fear that I will suddenly be confronted with someone, like, tearing into my book? Because, you know, no one loves everything and everyone has, you know, people have the right to express their feelings, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to accidentally. And I feel like once confronted with it, it takes extreme willpower to slam that laptop closed.
Yeah, which is something I definitely have, but I understand that not everyone does. Yeah.
Then I suppose it also depends how sensitive you end up feeling about these things, because, I mean, you have your roots of, like, or, like, your background in experiencing unsolicited opinions on your shit on the internet obviously started with that blogging, your blogging days. And, like, those comments were fatphobic and abusive, and no one's going to listen. No one's going to take those on board and be like, okay, cool. Like, this is going to be really constructive and helpful for me. I'm going to read 500 fucking mirror reader comments on how I'm a fat fuck and I'm promoting bad shit. You know, that's not going to be you. No one ever reads those knowing, like, with an open mind, prepared to take it on board, because it's not helpful. It's abusive. Whereas, you know, with work that you create, sometimes someone with a thicker skin might not be fazed if these things cross their path unintentionally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, 100%. I think in general, if you think you are psychologically capable of reading, you know, this kind of criticism, I 100% support people doing it. I just feel like I've seen so many times people who are otherwise completely like chill, cool, whatever, getting wound up because of, for example, Goodreads reviews. And yeah, I just feel like although they are not the same at all as the kinds of, you know, below the line comments on articles about plus size fashion that I am mentioned or photographed in, for me, they would probably have the same kind of effect of like, you know, it kind of puts you in a bad mood. And I have too much to do that I don't have time to be like, you know, feeling bad for a day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, like writing's so personal, like you pour yourself into it. So it's not a simple divorce of like yourself and your work. Like, you know, they're very intertwined.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I also think that maybe that is why I would also kind of struggle with reading that kind of stuff, because like what I write is quite personal. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. That's probably got something to do with it, that my fiction definitely is quite personal.
Also, I feel like it's a slight catch-22 where if you care enough to go onto Goodreads to read them, then you're probably not necessarily gonna be in a good position to receive what you might read. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're of a mind to go looking, then perhaps you are not of a mind to
seek
bad news.
Yeah, to find what you seek. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my other beef with the whole Goodreads situation is that, like, so they're taking away the one-star bad faith reviews on her book, but it's not like they're doing anything to, like, address one-star bad faith reviews for, like, you know, racist trolls on black authors' books, or, you know, just that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And this just feels like a really... The response to every element of this wild tale has been completely disproportionate. And I think that is based on, like, you know, kind of white lady privilege.
Well, it does make me wonder, because we know that bad faith reviews have existed previously on Goodreads, because of course they fucking have. But is this unprecedented? Is this the first time that a situation like this has gone viral? I don't believe that for one second. This must have happened before. And maybe Goodreads has removed one-star reviews in the past. But I haven't been tuned into the stories, so I don't know about it. But it's certainly the first time I've seen something go this messy and Goodreads has ended up stepping in.
Yeah, and I just wonder, like, at what level of author, at what level of, like, publisher, at what level of agent, of what level of, like, yeah, privilege, is it deemed useful, important, and necessary to, like, for Goodreads to intervene? And how do you decide what's a bad faith? Is it literally only reviews where they openly say, I haven't read the book?
It must be. It must be. And I guess maybe it was to try and keep a lid on the situation, because the more that were appearing, perhaps they were, each one was opening a fresh can of worms of new comments and new people coming in to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, good. Like, good. If that's something that Goodreads has decided to crack down on, then good. But as I said previously, then I think they do need to work out what constitutes a legit review and what doesn't. Like, I should be allowed to write a review which is not necessarily stipulating that I've read the book. Like, that should be present in the texture of the review.
Yeah.
But if the main thing that I want to talk about is the fact that, for example, completely making up an example, but a thin woman has written a book about fatness and then has been really fat phobic publicly on social media. Like,
just to make up an example.
Just to make up a random example. Wink,
of
wink.
Something that hasn't happened. Wink.
I did actually go into that trying to make something up, but then, you know, the mind wants what it wants.
Yeah, the reality of the situation was just too real.
Also, I wanted to pick something that, like, would actually affect me directly, personally, based on my experience. And then it just so happened that, anyway, whatever. But, you know, like, surely fat, like, plus size reviewers, fat reviewers would be doing a good service by leaving reviews saying, I got sent a proof of this, but then I saw these comments on social media and I no longer want to read it. This is why I don't trust that this author will do a good job. I feel like that's a review that I'd be grateful to see.
100%.
That would help me as a reader to decide whether or not I want to read that book. And, you know, I don't want to see that printed in the fucking Guardian or the Times. Like, I would expect reviews there to be based on the content of the book as much as the context in which it was written. Yeah. It's fucking Goodreads. It's for readers.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot going on. And there is just a lot of, like, nuance that I'd like to know more about, especially with how Goodreads are deciding this stuff. But, yeah, I think the main point is that Lauren Huff behaved very badly and continued to behave very badly.
And that's all we have to say on that.
And that is that on that. And you will never do anything so wild, and you are going to be a perfect author dream.
That's the thing, is I feel like I would sooner delete my social media accounts than end up dealing with this kind of mess. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously not this kind of mess. I'm not going to go, we're not the kind of people to go rogue and start yelling horrendous things. But, like, at this point, social media is harming her career and almost certainly harming her personal life. Because you can't just put your phone down and forget that something like this is going on. At that point, you have to say, maybe it's better for my career, better for my mental health, and better for myself if I no longer use this massive platform for anything other than quick announcements, or perhaps just delete it altogether.
We call that the Sally Rooney approach.
Oh, God, love her.
She pops on, she faves some nice tweets, often about stuff that has nothing to do with her, but is about, like, other random marginalized people. She, you know, maybe does some quick promo and then she dips out again. I love it.
And you know what? I love that. And I also don't blame her, because how quickly the book cover announcement for Beautiful World, Where Are You? How quickly my timeline devolved into people eye-rolling, criticising her work, saying it's probably not going to be that good, so doing all that kind of shit. And I was like, that's just so shitty. Just let people enjoy things. We all get that you're not like other guys and gals and you don't like Sally Rooney. Like, cool. But how quickly, like, for Sally Rooney, that this exciting thing, she would have been exposed to people just being flippantly unkind about her career and her work. Like, no wonder. No wonder she's decided the best thing to do is to just steer well clear of it.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Well, I feel like we have truly, you know, established our position on the behaviour of a fellow author. And I am hyped that your book announcement has been made and that the internet can be hyped about it. And I'm sure Alice will make it her pinned tweet, so you can find all the info about her book on her profile. And we are on Twitter and Instagram at WhatPagePod. And we will see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.